Let's see the introduction by Thomas Crowley. Flowers in the sky, kuge in Japanese. I think the shall we read? Would you read this?
This essay is strongly colored with the Qigong doctrine of the interpenetration of reality and illusion. Reality in Qigong terms means the interdependence of all things, which also means the emptiness of things in themselves. Particular emphasis is placed in this essay on counteracting nihilistic tendencies in the interpretation of emptiness and illusoriness. This may be noted time and again as one of Dogen's persistent themes. This point of emphasis is summed up in Dogen's reversal of the focus of a traditional expression, flowers in the sky. This term refers to that which is illusory or real. But where it conventionally had a negative connotation, Dogen uses it here in a positive way. That is, instead of treating illusion as something to be annihilated, Dogen points out that all is illusion, and being empty in its very essence is in that sense identical to absolute reality. This is like saying that all existence is relative and therefore empty of absolute. So to realize emptiness, it is not necessary to annihilate existence. In fact, the very idea of annihilating presumes existence as something in itself real, hence is illusion within illusion. Dogen points out that not only mundane things are flowers in the sky, but so are the Buddha's teachings themselves. This might be said to be a fundamental point of departure of Mahayana Buddhism, as articulated by the great dialectician Nagarjuna a millennium earlier. The essay begins with a famous line attributed to Bodhidharma, the alleged father of Zen in China. One flower opens with five petals, forming the fruit of its own accord. The five petals are traditionally thought to refer to the five Chinese patriarchs of Zen, or to the five houses of Chinese Zen. Dogen points out these are multifold aspects of one flower, while the one flower is the unfolding of these various aspects. Elsewhere in Shobo Genzo, Dogen emphasizes that the five houses or schools of Zen are not to be thought of as representing divisions or fundamental differences, and that Buddhism should be viewed not in a fragmentary, sectarian way, but as a whole, comprising many different facets. This notion of Buddhism as a whole, which is unified through various, is also characteristic of the idea of one vehicle in the Qigong and Hokage teaching. Also, like the Qigong, Dogen here in his introduction emphasizes practice, symbolized by the flowers, naturally bearing the fruit of realization. The metaphor of the flower and petals can also be extended to refer to the unity and multiplicity of all phenomena. Next, Dogen goes on to bring up the classic symbol of the Urdimbara flower. This is a flower that blooms but once in 3,000 years, a standard symbol for Buddha. Dogen quotes an ancient saying that the Urdimbara flower blooms in fire, suggesting that Buddhahood is realized in the world. This emphasis on non-dualism, on the cultivation and realization of Buddhahood as being nowhere but in this life, is also typical of Dogen. He carries this logic through to illustrate the interdependence of awareness and existence, and the identity of Buddha and existence itself. Subsequently, the essay proceeds to its main theme, the unity of existence and emptiness. The word for sky in the expression flowers in the sky is the same in Sino-Japanese as the word for the Buddhist term emptiness. So this expression could be read from Chinese as empty flowers or flowers of emptiness. Dogen stresses that everything, without exception, is flowers in the sky. The traditional saying that flowers in the sky are due to cataracts or obstructions in the eye is here presented positively, with cataracts being used to refer to compassion or non-extinction, the acceptance and recognition of life as it is. This positive interpretation of sickness is also characteristic of the popular Yamala Kirti scripture, in which sickness represents the sage's compassion and adaptive being in the world. Like that scripture, this essay by Dogen is aimed at cutting through the notion of nirvana as opposite to mundane life.
Thank you. he mentions the traditional saying that the flowers in the sky are due to cataracts or obstruction in the eye is here presented positively, with cataracts being used to refer to compassion or etc. I think the usually traditionally the kuge flowers in the sky has not good connotation, a little bit negative, such as seeing the light and seeing the illusions inside and outside. Sometimes when you do zazen and looking at the wall and you can see the light sometimes, white and black and red lights, and sometimes the one single dot creates animal's head and Avalokiteshvara's look and many things coming up. That is a kind of a kuge, flowers in the sky. So that is a delusions. So most of the people are interested in those image you can see in zazen, or when you, particularly when you do something with concentration, you experience a lot of things. So sometimes body feels light, and sometimes you feel your body is going up in the sky. And visibly, invisibly, you can experience a lot. But whatever it is, that is traditional, that is a kind of macho. In other words, flowers in the sky, like a cataracts, sickness of eyes. Religion, if you become serious religious person, you become, it's easily you become a sickness of religion. You know, lots of stuff you can see. And then that seeing the lots of things in front of you, in front of religions, in front of experience between the religions and you, Zazen and you, it's fine, no problem. But the problem is that we really believe strongly that that experience is true. So that is nothing but the delusions. Seeing the world from telescope, individual telescope. So I think Buddhism concentrates to letting your mind and body whole, you have to keep you letting your mind and body from many experiences, good or bad, right or wrong, and then you come back to the zero. Anyway, zero is the place where you can stand up. Every moment you become new, so that is you have to return to the zero. But when you return to zero, we don't feel comfortable because nothing. But in the nothingness, in the emptiness, I think there is a great way to let your life become new. But intellectually or the customs, habit, education, don't believe it. So that's why it is very difficult to do this. So we immediately hang on the specific experience we have had, religiously, philosophically, or in the usual human life, in many ways. But the Dogen Zenji uses this traditional meaning of the term flowers in the sky as nothing but the Buddha's world, decoration of the Buddha's world. So, well, human bodies, human minds, six senses, or five scandals. The five scandals means your body and the mind. Five scandals, six senses, and all kinds of behaviors in your everyday life are nothing but the flowers in the sky, but this is exactly the decoration of the Buddha's world. So that's why the Thomas Kuali mentions in the last sentence, this essay by Dogen is aimed at cutting through the notion of the nirvana as opposite to mundane life. So nirvana is a peaceful bliss. Mundane world, mundane life is simultaneously a peaceful bliss. We call nirvana. So, and then this Thomas Kuali mentions that this comes from, this is based on the teaching of Kekkon doctrine. He mentions in the first sentence. Of course, it is true. But Dogen Zenji doesn't mention to understand the meaning of cutting through the notion of the nirvana as opposite to mundane life. But he emphasizes on how to practice it, this one. If the life is mundane world, it is nirvana, but peaceful bliss, how do you do this? So he focuses on exactly practice itself. How do you do it? How to live there? That is Dogen's point. So it's not only understanding of teaching the mind is Buddha, Buddha is mind, Buddha is a tree, or tree is Buddha, or tree is in Buddha, or Buddha is in tree, whatever you say. It is nothing but understanding. But how can you practice this? Okay? It's not the spiritual fascinations. If you use a spiritual particular fascination, you can see it. Buddha in tree, tree in Buddha, you can see it. Or your lakusu, you wear the lakusu and somebody says, lakusu is kind of a mysticism, mysterious stuff, but probably you think so. So if you think the lakusu or Buddhist love is, say, mysterious things, I think you can expect something from this, Buddhist love. Imagining the great lights around, you know, robe, or in a Buddha's halo. But that is nothing but the delusions. So I think the rakusu and the Buddha's love important because we chant the triple treasure. I take refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, regardless of whether how much you believe or you trust in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. It doesn't matter. it matters. But it doesn't matter because if I say it matters, you try to make sure of yourself how much you believe or trust by your head, by your experience, by your education. That's why you cannot find the assurance of existence, you know, through your understanding of your life. No. So I say it doesn't matter because you have to go beyond, because practice itself is a great place where you build up new life. Okay. Beyond human beings or beyond Buddha or beyond the not Buddha, beyond not human. Anyway, you can day to days you can build up. That's why Dogen Zenji constantly mentions wherever you may be, whatever you do, anyway, what you have to do is to erect the Buddha banner. The banner of the truth. Truth means what turns the human world into golden earth. For instance, that is a practice, okay? It is not discuss how can you turn the human world into golden beings. We don't know. If you discuss it endlessly, you have to discuss. Finally, you don't know how. But even though you don't know, if you do it practically, according to the Buddha's teaching and the ancestors' suggestions, you can do it. You can do it. For example, you know, you don't believe Zazen is Buddha or you are Buddha. You don't believe it because the more you practice Zazen, the more you can see how human beings are. So, then naturally, you have a doubt that how long we should practice this in order to be Buddha, in order to get the peaceful bliss in human life. But no way, if you think of it, constantly you have to think. But day to day, you can do it. Okay? So according to ancestral suggestions, Buddha's suggestions, anyway, do it. Okay? Good. Zazen, you don't believe Zazen what it is, but anyway, sit down in peace, in harmony. And then you can build up new life, what you have never seen before. Gassho, do it. Gassho, properly do it. Anyway, well, and then new life come up. But new life is not a matter of perception you have had. So constantly you have to demonstrate in actions, in activities, day to day is gassho. Next moment you have to gassho in practice, in actions, in motions. That is our practice called continuation of practice or flow of practice. So this is the most important practice. In the Kegon Sutra, I think that philosophically, Kegon Sutra mentions about how the world and human beings, how world and universe are interconnected and working together. Very in detail. It's wonderful. But still questions there. Because we don't know. We don't know how to practice it. So I think the practice in motion is beyond understanding of teaching, beyond understanding of life and experience and etc. Because your life must be right in the stream of practice in action, in motion. So constantly you have to be. If you be one exactly, you don't know what you are doing. Completely beyond your perceptions. I always mention if you jump from a cliff to the oceans, a high jump, it's think in the process of jumping, I don't think you recognize who you are. Anyway, because you cannot create any gap between the practice in motion, action in motion from moment to moment, and your body must be one. Anyway, your emotion, your mind must be one with it. If your whole body become one with it, I don't think there is no space for you to see what's going on around you, what's going on around the jumping. So all you have to do is from moment to moment, you are right on the floor practicing motion. That is most important, not only that this practice, but whatever you do. Sportsman, and the housewife, and the cleaning the room, and wash your face, and daily routine, and being in the kitchen, and eating a meal, whatever you do, this is a very basic practice, and also this basic practice is completely open to everyone. Even though you believe, you don't do it. But if you do, as best as you can, you do it. You can do it. So, the action in motion or practice in motion is flow of motion, flow of action, where there is no room for the perception to catch up with. Because this is a motion characteristic of motion, characteristic of action in pure sense. Well, that's why we don't believe it, but the human knowledge really can see the speed of time, and as short as we can, you know, as shortest as it is, you know. So that's why we can go to the moon, and we can create a computer. Okay? But still, we are always understanding how fast the time is going, how vast the space is, how the time and space are interconnected, interwoven at the super speed. We understand it. But still, we don't know how to live there with this body and mind. We can create the instrument, you know, board and the computers, etc. But if you don't have those computers and boats and the airplanes, and you don't know how to live there. So that's why computer naturally, we know how great our human knowledge is. So our knowledge, consciousness, always catching up very minutely. This is the human brain. That's why we can create computers. But we know how weak we are because we don't know how to live. So very naturally, computer, what made by human beings becomes kind of God and divinities, and you can really depend on, because quickly you can know the answers, solutions, and quickly you know how to go up to the moon, you know. But if there is no computers, we are completely confused. This is modern civilization. So that's why, even though we don't know, from the beginning to end, wherever you are, anyway, this is a point we have to constantly practice it. Otherwise, you never know it. No matter how long you practice cold religions, you know. Religion is not a religion you believe. Religion is complete freedom from frame of religion. At that time, religion becomes religion which makes your life free from any level, any frames, any concept, any perceptions. Then at that time, religion lets you return to anyway life itself. At that time, you really appreciate religion. So it's not necessary to use a religious a particular religious term and etc. You can really learn who you are through the human life. I think in the Dogen Zenji mentions in Ocean Sea of Samadhi, talking about the characteristic Dharma. Dharma means the essential nature, ultimate nature of existence, which is going on constantly in motion. I think in the it is very interesting point is here commenting on the Buddha's statement. Buddha said that only by the compounding of many elements is this body made. At the time of its appearance, only elements arise. At the time of its disappearance, only elements vanish. And at the time these elements arise, they do not say, I arise. And at the time these elements vanish, they do not say, I vanish. In other words, simply speaking, if you say, I am alive, at that time you already leave a trace of aliveness. Because you use a word. The moment when you use a word, you leave simultaneously a trace of the word. And, or, even though you say, I am exactly right on the street floor of the aliveness, okay? But still you leave a trace of being in the flow of aliveness behind your actions. Emotion. So action, emotion, in scripture speaking, never leave any perception, any concept, any trace behind action, emotion, practice, emotion. Just arise. Just so what is the time? Time is just arise. That's it. But if I say time just arise, at that time, concept of arise is already words, so the immediately we have a preconception from where it comes, because otherwise we don't understand the meaning of arise. So if you use arise, immediately subject and object, or A place and B place. And then from A place and B place, there is a something in the B place. You know? So at that time we say, oh, it's arise. Automatically we do it, you know, very quickly. But arise itself is before you think of it. Arise itself is just arise. So Dogen Zenji mentions, commenting on this, when it arises, on the element arise, this element arise never leaves behind arising. So do you understand this arising itself, arising as an act, practice in motion is very pure, very pure. Very pure, something pure seems to be abstract, but I don't think so, because your life is exactly like that. If you don't understand the life, but you can see the death, you know, death is very pure. This death is a great opportunity for us to see something pure beyond our perception, like or dislike, or whatever it is, the other world, existence of the other world, or non-existence of the other world, complete beyond. You have to face death as it really is. Then, when the death arises, how can I say? Arises of death, leaves, some its own trace behind arises? No way. just be one. When you are just be one, nothing. Then when we say nothing, what's that? We are already thinking. So nothing, understanding of nothing scares us. So that's what we are struggling for, another world after death. We can depend on intellectually or imagination, imaginably. Anyway, in many ways, we try to get something. That's repeatedly we do. That is called samsara. It's really samsara. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions elements arise, never lives. Behind arises. This is your practice in motion, day to day. When you do get sure, this is Dhamma arises. That's it. But if you do it, arises itself is conceptualized very quickly. Exactly in the same situation as you are making computer. You are poking head into the time process. We are analyzing very quickly. So your consciousness is just like a computer's. Very quick. And then we are really captivated by this, you know, our curiosity of exploring how fast time is going. So finally we forget exactly original arising of time. Then we are completely far from it. But an important point is arising of time. Time arises is what? It's not a concept you can research, you can explore. Of course it is important, but for the next moment, next time, as a next step, what you have to do is how to live there. If you don't have anything, any computers, any divinities, any human bodies, anything, any computer, anything, that time, how can you live there? Only with your body and mind, how can you live? This is pretty difficult. If you understand this one, religion coming up there from that. I went to a conference of Buddhism and Christianity in Colorado. One of the Christian ministers mentions that Buddhism is metaphysical and philosophical. It's not a religion. Well, I can understand it, so I don't want to argue with this. But you can't put the label on it, you know, because if you try to put the label on something existing, religion, philosophy, American life, Japanese life, well, you see, you always understand them in terms of your educations, your perceptions, your heredity, your karma. So no matter how long you discuss, it's nothing but the cause of fighting. That's it. Worldly or spiritually or physically, materialistically. That is a war. Always happens. So we believe how beautiful religion is, but using a religion that we don't know how to deal with religion itself. We are caught by religion. So I think the Buddhistic way is really digging up the individual human life, digging up again and again by you and also by studying and learning the Buddhist scripture. Buddhist scripture is not teaching to give you knowledge philosophically or metaphysically, no. Buddhist teaching gives you how to dig up your life. That's it. So the more you try to get something outside of you, you are very confused. For instance, Buddha. You use the Buddha. What do you mean Buddha? Where is the Buddha? Finally, Buddha becomes very vague, which is completely different from concept of God. American people use a God, and then it's really attractive because God comes from the Americans, the emotions, the feelings of life. So I don't have any argument with this. It is fine. But I think this is a little bit different. The basic of studying a human life. Religion, of course, religion should be something to study the human beings, human world, okay? In the simplest way first, what is the simplest way of human life, human world? This is a point first. For instance, when you were born, how can you were born? Just cry, that's it. This is a sign of your birth. When you die, how do you die? You scream? Sure, you can scream, but when you become one exactly with the death, nothing to scream. Just one simple, ooh, that's it. Very simple word. So if you go to Japan, you can see the lion in front of the shrine, but sometimes in the Buddhist temple too. Two lions. One side, one lion opens his mouth like this and sit down and look, guarding the shrine's territory and the shrine's world, holy world. The other one is close his mouth. This is a sign of death. The other one is a sign of life. So this is very simple life. And then when you come back to this simple life, what it is, still you can't, oh, I understand it. No, you cannot say so. Because if you see the simplest way of life, the more you are curious of it, what it is, how do you live, what is that? So, after century, for 22,000 years, particularly in India, Aryan India, constant to research this one. So, simplest way of life is not concept, it is a practice emotion, that's it. Because relation with all sentient beings. So just the practice emotion, action, emotion, energy, emotions, by what all sentient beings produced, created. It is not the certain powers. So this energy itself create energy and new life, as a new life. At that time, new energies is manifested as the trees, birds, that's it, you know, different form. But when you come back to simplest way of the time or Dharma, whatever you say, it is a very simple practice, emotion, action, emotion, that's it. And then, after this, after one moment, it's create form. So, what we are interested in is a form of existence after arising of time in the simplest way. So, that's why Dogen Zenji mentions like this, and the element arise never leaves behind arising. Therefore, arising is not cognitive awareness. It's not cognitive awareness. Not knowledge or perception. This is called, they do not say, I arise. Okay. No self, so-called I. Look at arising of Dharma or not arising of Dharma. Not because I is simultaneously Dharma emotion, as it is. At that time, that is a moment, that is a time you face directly right now, right here, and then that is a place where you can create new life. New life means your life, including universe. That is called a peaceful bliss. Okay? Well, Buddhism constantly research this one. What is a peaceful bliss? But even though you don't understand according to practice, actually, under the guidance of the ancestors and the Buddhas, you can do it day to day. That's why we practice like this from the beginning to end. Even though you scream, you don't like it, anyway, just like a mother's trying to take care of boys, girls, and say, please, you know, stay here and come with me, and please stay in the house quietly, gently, etc. Constantly we have to say, you know. And then, probably, before you die, probably you can notice. Probably not. I don't know. No guarantee. But it's because it depends on individual. Okay? But it is sure. It is sure if you practice like that, you are exactly build up new life. That is Buddha's mentions, Dogen Zenji mentions, etc. Because it is a peaceful bliss is right now, right here, you have to manifest, you have to build up, you have to erect banner of the bliss, peaceful bliss. Okay? What is it? It is not concept. It is not something coming from others. It is something you have to erect, banner of the peaceful bliss. Okay? So, that's why in the Shodoka's Song of Enlightenment, he mentions that the author mentions not seeing a single Dharma is Tathagata, Buddha. It's really Buddha. Okay? It is able to call Kanjizai Avalokita. Avalokita means regarding freely. Kan means observation. Jizai means what is just is. What is just is. That means sign of freedom. Okay? What is just is nothing but freedom or peaceful bliss. Okay? So Kan Jizai means facing to the world, facing to the human beings, facing to the world. At that time, you are free because nature and you are exactly one. Then you can be free. But if you see the nature objectively and try to understand it, or always seeing the nature in front of you, called objectively, you never feel perfect, peaceful bliss. Still you're fighting in many ways. So I think a perfect, peaceful bliss is and nothing to see that even a single Dharma. Okay? Single Dharma means Buddha create nature, Buddha the causes acting. Buddha unifies. Okay? Buddha unifies Karagiri and nature. Well, we want to know this. We want to have this kind of theory and ideas, but actually, not Buddha's business. That is your business, you know, Karagiri's business. So I have to do it. So I must be exactly one with the nature. How? Well, just be. Just be in this nature. You know. Well, constantly be present in the natures, and regardless of whether you believe or not, anyway, be constantly, be present, be present, be present. Finally, your whole body and mind becomes exactly the same and one with nature. And then, this is really peaceful. That's why he says, this is a Tathagata, Buddha. Okay. Well, Buddha, if I use a Buddha term of Buddha, I think the according to Buddhology, you can explain what the Buddha means. So traditionally, Buddha is divided into three kinds of Buddha. One is Buddha of the ultimate truth itself. Okay. Ultimate truth itself is Buddha. Okay. This is one. Second, human body. This body and mind are Buddha himself. Because without this body and mind, we cannot see any way to realize that the ultimate truth, ultimate being. So, very naturally, we have to accept this body and mind. But still, there is a separation between the ultimate truth, nature of the being is manifested. And then, at that time, it is called third kind of Buddha, Sambhogakaya Buddha. Sambhogakaya Buddha is whole personality of life is life is yours, but the whole person, when you manifest your whole personality, I think you must manifest your life interpenetrated, interconnected with whole world, trees, birds, natures, and it's then your personality becomes the whole personality. That is not something you try to research, explore, but that is something you can nurture, and you can produce through are practicing motion day to day. That's why this is Buddha. We call Buddha in the three Buddhas. Dharma, we call Sanskrit Dharmakaya Buddha. That is the truth, ultimate nature of the Buddha existence. Dharmakaya, we call. Kaya means a body. Dhamma means the truth. Dhammakaya, Nirmanakaya. Nirmana means human body, five skandhas. And kaya means the body. Okay. Body means the Buddha's body and mind. Okay. And also Sambhogakaya Buddha. That is between the Buddha, between Dhammakaya and Nirmanakaya. That is Sambhogakaya. Kind of trinity, okay? Trinity of the Buddha, Buddha bodies. But still, it's not real Buddha. It's not, we understand this Buddha, but still not real Buddha. We don't know how to manifest Buddha. So the more you study and learning through Buddha, through the scriptures, the Buddha becomes more vague. So finally, the Todan Zen master was asked by a monk, this koan is mentioned in the Book of Equanimity. Todan Zen master was asked by a monk, what is real Buddha who doesn't belong to the number of these three Buddhas? Number of Buddha? Anyway, who doesn't belong to, three categories. Anyway, In other words, I'm not talking about I don't want to know the Dhammakaya, I don't want to know the Nirmanakaya, I don't want to know the Sambhogakaya, because we don't know. We don't know what it is, you know. We can poke our intellectual sense into Sambhogakaya, how Dhammakaya and Nirmanakaya working like a computer. We researching the time process, how first, you know, Dhammakaya, the truth, and human body working together, you know. We can poke our head into it. That's where we can research in the shortest period of time in physics. But still we don't know if this body and mind is nothing but the shortest period of time, we are very confused. Because nothing to depend on. So finally you have to destroy the computers and the et cetera. Then only your body and mind is computer itself. You know. How do we live? So it's very confused, very difficult to live. So that's why Buddha, you have to go beyond those idea of computers, idea of your brains and knowledge. Otherwise, you have never experienced, you know, peaceful, perfect peaceful bliss called religion or Buddhism. You never. So, if you want to live peacefully or harmoniously, I think you have to go beyond this one. That's why monk asks, what is real Buddha who doesn't belong to these three categories of Buddha? And then the Todan Zen Master says, this is, you should remember this statement, very simple statement. But we don't believe this one, but it's very interesting. Now and here am I, wholehearted, wholehearted. That's it. Now and here am I, wholehearted. wholehearted, wholehearted. Not next moment, not before previous moment, right now. Right here. So that is really something. You don't know. But you are obviously expecting that opportunity, great opportunity. Next moment, probably something. Even though you are disappeared, still you expect such as opportunities. But we always expect such an opportunity in terms of language, in terms of conceptual understanding. That's why such a the great opportunity you expect becomes always a ghost and disappears. So we don't know what it is. So, that's why Dozen Zen Master mentions like this. Okay? Then, I think here's one more koan in the Bendo Wa. I think here is interesting question and answer number 16. Well, here is a koan. Let me read. The question is, some say in the Buddha Dhamma, if you thoroughly penetrate the meaning of the mind in itself is Buddha. Mind is Buddha. Okay? Or your life is Nirvana. Your life is Buddha. Your life is great beyond human speculations. In other words, you have a great capability to build up Buddha's work, but we don't believe it. We understand, we hope that, but if we don't know how to do it. So, the mind in itself is Buddha, even without vocal recitation of scriptures or bodily practicing the Buddha way, you will be assured of lacking nothing in the Buddha Dhamma. Simply knowing that the Buddha Dhamma exists intrinsically in oneself is attainment of the Buddha way in its totality. It is not to be sought beyond this. In any other person, is there then really any need to trouble oneself with negotiation the way in Zazen? Answer is, such words are particularly meaningless. What things as you portrayed them would not all spiritually perceptive persons be able to understand if they were taught these words? Understand that the Buddha Dhamma consists above all in practice creating the view that differentiates between self and others, if the way are attained by knowing that self is Buddha. Shakyamuni long ago wouldn't have undergone the hardship he did in guiding others to enlightenment. If the life is only based on the understanding of human life, then we can produce a peaceful life, and that can why Buddhas and ancestors constantly teach you in the practical sense, and that they, according to day-to-day life, according to individual life. So, I will corroborate this briefly with the example of worthy priests of the past. Formerly, a follower of the Zen master Fai En, a monk named Sun Cao, was asked by the master, Cao, how long is it now that you have been with me? It has already been 3 years, he answered. You are of the next generations. In 3 years, Sokko, the monk, practiced for 3 years. The 3 years for the Hogen Zen master, the Chua, the Fai En, okay? The 3 years, not 3 years, 3 years is already time, including past, present, future. So, 3 years are very important period of time. Well, now and here also great period of time. But he simply says, I have been 3 years. And then he said, why didn't you answer anything about Buddhism? So he said, the monk says, I must not deceive you. Formerly, when I was with Zen Master Qin Feng, I finally attained a peaceful bliss in the Buddha Dhamma. Anyway, I attained enlightenment. Anyway. The Master says, by what words did you attain that realm? Cao replied, monks replied, I once asked Qin Feng, what is the self of the Buddhist disciple? And he answered, Pin Teng Chuan Tzu means fire boy. Fire boy comes for fire. Fire boy means a boy or monk who take charge in the lamps, you know, cleaning, and in ancient time we used lamps, you know, no electricity, so obviously we have special monks who are taking charge in the lamps. My teacher also told about how difficult that job was, you know, cleaning the, you know, lamps. It's very difficult because we always leave a certain dust, or the dust and would say the marks of the fingers and the glasses and the lamps. And so he mentioned to me that if you clean lamps, you shouldn't leave any marks of your fingers. So how can I clean it? I don't know. But he mentioned. And you shouldn't have any dust, you know. Dust comes from the cloth you are cleaning, by what you are cleaning. So how can I move that dust? It's pretty hard, you know. So it's very hard job. But he says that's why fire boy comes for fire. Those are fine words. The teacher, the Hogen Zen Master, says those are fine words. That's great words by which you attain enlightenment. In fact, I'm afraid you didn't understand them. As a matter of fact, you didn't understand that meaning. The fire voice comes for fire. Then this monk said, I understand them to mean this. Fire boy is characterized by fire. Of course, fire boy, you know. Fire boy means fire. Because fire boy is always seeking for the lamp called fire, anyway. Okay? So, the fire boy is characterized by fire. To look for fire with fire is like looking for the self with the self. So who knows Buddha? Who knows Buddha? Who built the new life? Who makes the world peaceful? You. From this point, you have to seek you for you. In other words, Buddha seeks some Buddha for the Buddha. We can say so. Kevu is Buddha. I am Buddha. So Buddha receive Buddha as a table and make the Buddha as a Buddha. At that time, table and I becomes one and deep communication. But still it is understanding, my understanding. So then, the master says, you are right, but indeed, strictly speaking, you didn't understand it. Still you don't understand it. So if the Buddha Dhamma were something such as you describe, it wouldn't have come down to the present day. If you understand human life, you know, only by your emotions, by your, you know, the intellectual sense, at that time, Buddhism or any Christian religions haven't come down from generation to generation. Why did the ancestors guide you to understand human life as it really is day to day? It is something more than understanding. But understanding is important. That's why we have to study the teaching. But the teaching is still teaching. Just like a supporters for morning glory. So, the monk was really angry in a sense. So the monk left the monastery immediately. But this monk was a little bit better because on the way, on his way, he thought the master, Hogen Zenmaster, is known far and wide for his competence. Moreover, he has 500 disciples under him. Well, he says, at those days, Hogen Zen, Hogen Shu, school of Hogen, it was one of the five schools in those days. You know, the Dogen mentions in this chapter, Skies and the Flowers in the Sky. So I think the it is said that he had 500 monks there. That's why he was, this monk believes that he was very famous, very well-known, so he is something more than the usual guys. So he returned to the monastery where he repented and made his bow to Fayen. And he asked him again, what is the self of the Buddhist disciple? The master replied, fire voice comes for fire. He answered same things, but this fire voice comes for fire he uses is something more than your understanding, what you have made. So, by this answer, Hogen Zen Master immediately took this monk to return to original, you know, aspect of existence, which is nothing but action, practice, emotions. What do you mean? Fire comes for fire. Self comes for self. Self seek for the self, for the self. What do you mean? It is not something understandable. So finally, Hogen Zen Master used the same word, but that same word is profound, very profound. So he pointed out that one. And then this monk was pretty clever, pretty nice. So he had in this story, finally he realized what it means. So, hearing these words, the monk was greatly enlightened in the Buddha Dhamma. It is clear one cannot realize the Buddha Dhamma by understanding that oneself is Buddha. If this were the Buddha Dhamma, the master wouldn't have used such words to guide the monk and wouldn't have admonished him in the manner he did. From the first time you meet a great master, you ought simply to inquire as to the rules and regulations with regard to practice, then wholeheartedly negotiate the way in Zazen, and keep from letting your mind hold to superficial and partial knowledge. Then the Buddha Dhamma, wonderful means, will not be unavailing. So, so that is most important. Our life is Buddha. We are all Buddha. Question is, it is not something understandable. So how do we practice this truth in our everyday life? That is a point. That is always a point. Whatever you say, Buddha in us, Buddha with me, Buddha on us, whatever you say, it doesn't hit the real blue eyes of life. So how do we know? How do we know? So again and again we practice this. So finally, then you mentioned Venerable Mahakashapa received the word honored ones transmission directly face to face, mind to mind, body to body, and eye to eye. Mahakashapa respectfully regard Shakyamuni Buddha while making offerings and bowing formally. Thousands of times Mahakashapa had pounded his bones and crushed his body. You know, I used before this expression, and then the student says, I don't like it because I don't want to crush my bones. I don't mean you should crush your bone, actually. That means, that expression means how hard we practice again and again. We don't know how many often, how many thousands of times we respect the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas and Zazen practice and practice. How many often, how many thousands of times we practice, we don't know. But this is important, that's it. Even though I say Gassho, then this great opportunity now and here am I is wholehearted. This is a unique, great opportunity to let the flower of your life force bloom in completely new way. We don't believe this. But everything blooms in that way. Flowers, grasses, pebbles, everything dies in that way, completely. Death is new life. Life is new life. Moment is new moment. Moment is not moment you have understood. You believe moment is constantly new. So how do we do this? This is a practice. Anyway, shortest period of the moment, what you can produce computers and the airplanes to reach the moons, it is still science. It is still discussing the world objectively. But you must be shortest, your life itself must be shortest period of time. How do you do it? Where is it? For whom you have to practice that? What kind of benefit you can get it from this? That's lots of questions there. But this is a great practice for us. Otherwise, you never know real death itself. Even slightly you see the dim of the other world, after death, you are still, your mind is, you go astray. If you believe reincarnation, you are caught by reincarnation. I don't mean the reincarnation is not true. It is true. But if you believe it, you are caught by reincarnation. So how can you be reincarnated? There is a point. Where is it? Why we have to do this? Why we are interested in reincarnation? For whom you must be reincarnated? What's the benefit that do you get if you are reincarnated? Lots of questions. Where is it? Those questions come from where? So, Kruger, that's why Kruger is, if you see something, a single being, that you have to see the single being, but you have to not see single being. That is a practice, okay? If you see that table, immediately your consciousness see the table as a single being. The next moment you are caught by the idea of single being. Do you? Simultaneously. And then we are involved in what? Where? You know, the idealistical world created by your consciousness. That what lets you go far and far from original, very beginning, at the stage of arising of time. We don't know. Completely, we have forget this. So when you see the table, you have to see the table because it's impossible to escape. If you don't see the table, without seeing the table, and then if you can't see this table, you have to die. You know, you can, your life doesn't exist. As long as you exist, you have to see with your consciousness. But it is a first experience. But from the first experience, and then you have to come back original state of your experience, very pure experience, means the unity of this table and I. Means you have to go beyond. You shouldn't be caught by this idea of table. What's that? So, you have to deal with this table as a Buddha. What do you mean? As a Buddha, mean, what do you mean? I mentioned the other day at the Chosan, two meanings. Buddha is very strict, serious. Very serious, no excuse. So you have to, if you face this directly, you have to see directly. No excuse. Morning comes, morning. It's morning. Not afternoons. No comparisons. If you appear, if you arise, you are you. That's it. And also, it is a very serious and very strict state of existence because it is the morning, but it's that morning is a limitless morning, idea of morning, because it's connected with whole world. Temporary we call morning, because it's vast. We don't know how to know the vastness of a certain period of time. So that's why we use a morning, but if we don't. If you understand the morning in the word, we are caught by the word. So, finally, morning is morning, very strict, no excuse. But simultaneously, even though you don't believe the morning or you believe the morning, morning accepts you all. So it's very tolerant, compassionate. You are, your existence is forgiven. Anyway, forgiven. Accepted. But if you don't anything, your acceptance, acceptance by whole unity doesn't make sense. If you are accepted by whole world, I think you should make it alive. That is how to make it alive. Practice. So when you everything you are facing day to day has always two meanings. Very serious, but on the other end, very compassionate. Very serious. No excuse. But on the other end, very compassionate. That's why if you don't like it, you can go any place. If you don't believe it, you can go. You can believe anything else. If you don't like your life, you can kill yourself. It's a freedom. But wherever you may go, to the death, to the life, wherever you may go, you are still embraced in the whole universe. Just like a breathing of its blows quietly in the field of coarse pastures. And then coming back here and there. And grass is just waving, that's it. And stand up again, and the breathing goes. Very soft, very close to us. But on the other end, very serious, very strict. no excuse. So that's two kind of things over there. So Buddhism then practices, try to put you in right in the middle of practicing motion. That's it. So this is the meaning of flowers in the sky. Then next we will study the main subject.